Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It is the morning shift at 7:03. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass, and this hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Getting you caught up before you clock into work today over the weekend. Yankees are down in the MLB playoffs. The Blue Jays won the first two games of their series. Game 3 is tomorrow. Tonight, we will get Game 2s in both NLDS series, Dodgers at Phillies and Cubs at Brewers. And the Hawks preseason starts tonight. They're going to take on the Houston Rockets at 8 o'clock. Now, for college football, three top 15 teams got upset this weekend. UCLA got their first win of the season by beating Penn State 42-37. Florida beat Texas 29-21, and Cincinnati beat Iowa State 38-30. Of course, Georgia beat Kentucky 35-14, and Alabama prevented a repeat of last year. They beat Vanderbilt 30-14. But I think we were all paying attention to the Buffalo Bills. They lost last night to the Patriots, 23-20, first loss for the Bills this season.
Yeah, it was, and I think it was obviously extremely frustrating. Last night afterwards, Josh Allen sounded about as frustrated as I can remember him sounding, but you got to give credit, I think, to New England and being able to do the things they're able to do, force Josh Allen into bad situations, force Buffalo into a bunch of penalties and just mistakes, and you know, I got to give credit, too, to Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs has been one of those people that has rubbed me the wrong way sometimes with some of the words, some of his actions, some of the things he's done. But I thought him coming back to Buffalo last night for the first time since he was traded over a year ago, being a you know being in there with a not a rookie quarterback, but a second-year quarterback in Drake May, he said all the right things. He said you know how proud he was of Drake May, that he just wanted to get this victory. He comes out with 140, I believe, receiving yards somewhere in that ballpark. He was exceptional, as was Drake May, being able to make plays. But, you know, I think as you look towards the matchup that we will have next Monday night here in prime time, it does kind of open the door. You know, I think do you see an angry Buffalo team, or do you see one that is mistake prone and, you know, can you, the Falcons can continue to force them in some of those mistakes? So I think it's going to be a really, really interesting game plan. I think that the way these two teams match up is very unique, and the Falcons will have to come and play with their big boy pads. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, there are a lot of variables up in the air. Let's hear from Mike Vrabel after last night's game.
Try to prepare and try to focus on getting better each and every day. Felt like if we could protect them, then they, you know, we did a nice job. They started blitzing. They started blitzing in the fourth quarter. We hit a couple plays that I felt were the difference when they started blitzing and started heating us up, that we were able to hit some plays and some X plays against it. So that was probably the difference for us being able to not let the blitz affect us.
I think that's a great point in the way that they went about their business, you know, right there at the end of the game. And I think if you're a Falcons fan kind of watching that or listening to that, I think the one thing that the Falcons have done good in three of their four games is be on the same page offensively in terms of picking up the blitz. Mm-hmm. You know, very rarely is there a defender running at Michael Penix that he didn't know was coming or that he was not prepared to kind of throw hot for. And I think that is a huge kind of check mark in the Falcons column where we talk so much. And I'm very guilty of it as well because I do want the playbook to be expanded. I do want there to be more exotic looks offensively that we give the defenses. I would love for there to be more screens, more draws, more, you know, unbalanced things, whatever. You know, fill in the blank. I would love for there to be more imagination. But one of the pros of there not being that much imagination is the fact that everybody is usually always on the same page on any given play. And that's why you have developed this consistent level of offensive output from Bijan Robinson and from Michael Penix. Now, it somehow fell off a cliff when you played Carolina just a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, obviously getting back on track when you played Washington was a huge thing moving into this Monday night game and this primetime game. So Vrabel mentioned it. They did a nice job picking up the blitzes. I thought that was a massive part of this game, and it's going to be huge, I think, you know, when it comes to the Falcons next Monday night.
Let me ask you a question when it comes to that Falcons-Bills game next Monday night. Are you more concerned about the Falcons' ability to score on the Bills' defense or the Falcons' ability to stop the Buffalo offense?
It's definitely the ability to stop the Buffalo offense.
I'm so with you.
I thought it was very interesting how Mike Vrabel's defense, because Mike Vrabel obviously knows defense and he knows how to play guys like Josh Allen. Josh Allen was not able to make many plays on the run last night outside of the pocket, which I thought was really interesting.
Right.
You know, there was probably a couple of missed receivers, guys open down the field, but you look at some of the pass breakups, some of the plays he was not able to make. It was very clear to me that New England was just trying to keep Josh Allen in the pocket. The way they were rushing the quarterback, hey, we're not going to edge rush this guy. And it was almost like they didn't even believe they could sack him. You know, if they blitzed up the middle or tried to run these stunt games, they were like, nah, we're just going to basically try to press our offensive lineman back in his lap. And if we can't get there, we're just going to wait for him to roll out. And, you know, I thought that worked out for them pretty well as a game plan. It was like, hey, you know, Josh Allen is good from the pocket. Don't get it twisted. But he might be better on the run, and he's definitely better when he's running with the football outside of the pocket.
Let me follow up with you on that then, because that's an interesting point. Because to open the show, we talked about how New England, again, it was more so about Buffalo beating themselves. And we did give credit to New England because they did help force some of those errors that Buffalo committed last night. But as far as if we want to go with anything that maybe New England gave as a quote-unquote blueprint for the Falcons this Monday night, could they replicate what you were just talking about to where you kind of let Josh Allen operate from the pocket? And like you said, if you can collapse the pocket from within and get interior pressure, great, and sack him that way. But if not, maybe have a spy and wait for him to roll out and not let him kill you from outside the pocket where you think he's better?
Yeah, I think that's definitely got to be part of it. Now, you're going to take the chance that he's not going to pick you apart from the pocket,
right,
which I think is terrifying. You know, if you're a Falcons fan, you're looking at it. But here's the thing, and here's what I keep going back to. Look at this group of receivers. It's actually improved. It's an improved group of receivers, but they're still not like the talent level of you see of some of the other top teams in the NFL.
Somebody necessarily scares you.
Right. Like Keon Coleman, he's fine.
If AJ's back, AJ can lock him up. I feel very confident in that.
Khalil Shakir, he's fine. You know what I mean?
Mike Hughes can have that unlocked.
Right. You know, Dalton Kincaid, that's been an issue. But the Falcons have been very good against tight ends this year. Very good against tight ends this year. So, you know, you're always going to have that problem. But I think if you can force them into being a conventional offense, that's where you stand the best chance defensively. And I think that that's probably the route they will take. I don't necessarily think that Mike Vrabel broke some kind of code in the way he approached last night. I don't think he's the first one to try to do that. But I think that Josh Allen and his performance last night mixed with the approach from New England. And you're right. We probably need to spend more time giving credit to New England. They win in a last-second field goal from a rookie kicker that was only at 80% this year, which is crazy. You also had Drake May. And, guys, let me take y'all back to last night. If any of y'all that watched this game, it's in Buffalo. It's the whiteout, the all-white uniforms from Buffalo. It's a primetime game. All the lights go out in the stadium, and everybody's got their cell phone lights on. Mm-hmm. And Drake May, in his second year, you know, playing for a 2-2 football team, is like, yeah, no big deal. I'm fine. Stiff arms a couple of guys rolling out of the pocket, makes a couple of big throws on the run. Ramondre Stevenson, a couple of big runs as well. They played well. I mean, you have to give them credit, and I think that's a Mike Vrabel thing. But, you know, all the while recognizing the fact that Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills are a Super Bowl contender any given night on any given part of the season. And so more times than not, when you see an MVP like Josh Allen have a letdown in performance, you're going to automatically go to him as part of the story.
Well, I know one of the things we were relieved about, the bye being when it was for the Falcons, was we're a little banged up, got some guys on the injured reserve. When are we going to start to hear the status of like AJ or Casey Washington?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I don't know. I think that when you look at, you know, this is It's atypical for two reasons this week is. Because you're number one, you're coming off a bye. But number two, it's a Monday Night Football game, which would have been atypical if you had played yesterday.
Yeah.
And you were going into a Monday Night Football game where you have, you know, an eight-day work week or whatever it may be. So I'm not really sure. I'm sure that those will start to trickle out. I would have to think that A.J. Terrell is back in the lineup. Mm-hmm. I do not know. If he's not back in the lineup, then I start to ask questions why you would not have put him on short-term IR. That would have been, you know, another part of this entire conversation. Darnell Mooney, remember, was a little bit banged up with a hamstring.
Right.
We're still kind of awaiting word on where Storm Norton's at. Mm-hmm. Troy Anderson, guys like that. So, yeah, there are parts of this conversation that we'll be having, you know, specifically on defense, but also about Darnell Mooney here in the coming days. But I think, you know, Dylan did a good job mentioning it. None of these guys, if A.J. Terrell's in the lineup, I don't find fear in this wide receiver core from Buffalo. And they're a good group. They're much improved over where they were probably a year ago, 2 years ago. But in the end, it's just one of those things where it's the Josh Allen show. And if you stop him and you keep him contained and force him into conventional football, I think you stand much more of a better chance in this matchup next week.
Yeah, I think it's all about stopping Josh Allen and James Cook. Those are the two guys that we talk about, you know, the straw that stirs the drink. They got two straws. Josh Allen, James Cook are the two straws that stir Buffalo's drink. So if you can neutralize those guys make mistakes, and yeah, again, like New England did, force some turnovers, an interception, a fumble recovery here or there, and you could actually capitalize on those mistakes, Falcons will be right there with a chance to win the game. Now, whether they go out and win it or not, at the end of the game, if it's close, that's a whole different story for a whole nother day, but they'll at least be in position if they can find a way to slow down Josh and James Cook.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up James Cook, too, because I think you look at the game last night, you look at the lack of highlights, his stat line was 15 attempts for 49 yards. Not great.
No.
But he's definitely an X factor. Right?
I mean, absolutely.
I can sit here and talk about playing conventional football, but if you can't just stop them from handing it to James Cook and him ripping off 20 yarders here and there, then you're going to be in a bad way either way. And that's the thing. That's what makes Josh Allen so good is when you look at it, it's like, conventional football from the pocket. Okay, if they take that away, then all of a sudden you go to the run game. If you take away both of those, then it becomes like, how many times is Josh Allen going to run the ball? Last night, 9 attempts, 53 yards. Like, he can still do that in much in the way that, you know, you've grown accustomed to trying to stop like teams like Washington.
And real quick, on the flip side of that, if you can't stop James Cook in the run game, and even if you can't stop Josh Allen in the run game, then we talk about those receivers not scaring us. Then that opens things up, because then you start to get to play action, and then you have to pay more, you know, respect and maybe allocate more resources to that run game. Then that opens things up, obviously, for the passing game, and then those receivers start getting those big plays. Khalil Shakir starts finding those open spots. Keon Coleman starts, you know, being able to make maybe 50-50 catches or whatever the case may be. So, like we said, if you cut off the heads of the snake, I'll say two heads because of Josh Allen and James Cook, then the rest goes with it.
Yeah. I love it, man.
Well, and as we are getting ready for the next Falcons game, I want to remind you that this Saturday from noon until 2, you can join Bo Morgan at Bulldog Kia of Athens as we get ready for Monday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit, a 50-inch 4K smart TV with rolling stand. Other prizes come with it. Plus, another winner will take home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, that's this Saturday from noon until 2 at Bulldog Kia of Athens with Bo Morgan and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we're going to get into that story that you've been seeing unfold all weekend. Different layers just kept being added on. We're going to talk about
crazy
Mark Sanchez next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan will be back in a couple days. Dylan's hanging out behind the glass. And we are going to go in the huddle in a moment because we got to talk about the wild swings that this Mark Sanchez story keeps taking.
Dude, it's...
It started one way.
It's insane.
And then you learn more.
The push notifications that were just flying onto everybody's phones from the sports sites were like, what?
I know.
What?
It just kept going.
Have you seen this one? What?
But crazy. With Atlanta United season winding down, be sure to join Jason Longshore every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Jason has you covered all season long on the latest Atlanta United news. Plus, he's keeping tabs on international soccer as well. That's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer, Tuesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and available the next day at the Off the Woodwork podcast on Odyssey. So former QB turned analyst Mark Sanchez.
Analyst?
He was probably all over your feed this weekend, like the push notifications Mike was getting. He was charged after allegedly attacking a 69-year-old truck driver in Indianapolis. Within the altercation, Mark was stabbed, ended up in the hospital. Mark's now been released, and an initial hearing is scheduled for tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. I mean, that's just like the little bullet points to this.
Yes.
But I feel like there's been so much that's come out.
This is your prototypical three stages. Oh, no. Oh, wow.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's exactly what goes through everybody's head as they're kind of unraveling the story. It's like, oh, no. Oh, God. What happened?
Day one started with thoughts and prayers.
Yes. Day one half was like, what the heck just happened?
Right. What just happened? Because he was in Indianapolis to call the game.
Yes.
Which, of course, they had to find a replacement. So.
Yes.
I accidentally saw the photographs of the 69-year-old truck driver, his injuries. Did you guys see those?
No.
Don't look for them.
Okay.
It was an accident. I wish I never saw them.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty brutal.
Dang, that's crazy.
Jeez.
I just simply, like, read the story. Of like, you know, when the affidavit or whatever comes out and they're kind of running back through everything that happened. And it sounds like an absolutely terrifying encounter from all directions. Like, I don't know what was going on with this guy.
Yeah, the most shocking thing to me, and I think the most eerie thing and just the worst part about this to me is that they get to a point where it kind of comes to its climax, and then Mark, according to the story in the affidavit, Mark just gets this, like, shocked look on his face. Like, he almost realized, like, what was going on, and then he just runs away.
Like, yeah. Well, a stab wound will do that to you from my calculation. But and here's the way I have read that it happened. Mark rolls up to this guy. He's in the loading dock of the hotel that Mark's staying at. The truck driver thinks that Mark is part of the hotel staff because he's dressed real nice, and he's like, hey, you can't park here or whatever. And then, you know, he gets an argument with Mark. Mark throws him against the wall, starts, like, kind of pummeling him, allegedly. This is some of the things that I saw out there. This guy gets scared, tries to pepper spray Mark. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really take an effect. Right. And then all of a sudden he has to break out a knife. It's just crazy. And then Mark runs away after the stabbing and then calls the police. And it's like, oh, he got stabbed. Oh, my God, he beat the crap out of somebody.
Right.
What? Like, what? In what universe are we living in right now?
And the fact that Mark doesn't really remember most of this, too, according to the affidavit. Like, he remembers, like, the encounter, and after that, it's pretty much it.
Yeah. It's like there's two things at play here. Either we just don't know who Mark Sanchez is, or, like, he got his drink spiked or got a hold of some bad drugs. Like, that's the only thing that I keep thinking of.
Yeah.
So this might be a dumb question. Might be an obvious question. Career over?
It's not a bad question. Yeah.
I don't think it's a dumb question. I think we need to know more details.
Yeah.
I think we need to know more details. I think it's definitely probably for the rest of the season hiatus. But in terms of him, you know, having a career in broadcasting, we just don't know enough. We don't know, in my opinion, his side of the story enough to say, mm-hmm. you know, was there something else at play here?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
We'll find out. I mean, I can only imagine what's going to come out next from the PR team. It's like, man, he was on some medication for something. He had a couple of drinks at dinner. It didn't mix well. And somehow we landed here. I don't know. But, I mean, it's the whole thing's absolutely crazy.
That hearing, again, is scheduled for tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning. So we will find out more at that point. Now, another bizarre story.
Yes.
San Francisco 49ers quarterback Mac Jones had a very scary experience prior to taking on the Rams. So the morning of the game, Mac apparently saw someone deceased in the marina outside the team's hotel. What?
Yes. This is insane. This whole story, and I think it was I read it with Chris Quick over at Yahoo. And essentially, Mac Jones was on the balcony at the marina. He saw a body. Tells 49ers people, they call police, and when they were leaving to go to the game, there was like a coroner and other police pulling into the marina. Oof. Like, insane. It's like, how do these two stories both come out at the same time? I don't know. I don't know how to make heads or tails of the Mac Jones story or really the Mark Sanchez one, but it just makes the whole story with Mac Jones even crazier.
Yeah.
When you look at, you know, the whole cramping thing with him and everything else that was going on during the game, it's like, dude, you had a lot going on that day.
Yeah, I mean, seeing what he saw, the cramping, he was already dealing with a PCL injury apparently, and then just balling out. I mean, kudos to Mac Jones, man, showing the physical and mental toughness.
11 bananas they counted that he ate during the football game.
Really?
I saw him with 11. The one. I didn't know he had 11.
11, bro.
Golly.
Goodness. Is Mercury in retrograde or something? There's got to be something bizarre.
Must be.
All right. We'll get back to like more typical news for In the Huddle. Panthers beat the Dolphins 27-24.
This was a crazy game. A lot of Bama fans paying attention to this game because it's a former Bama quarterbacks. I don't know, man. The Dolphins might be cooked. Like, they were out ahead of this game. They were up 14-0 at one point, I believe. The Panthers come back, scored 10 in the second quarter. And I thought, man, Miami still looks good even without Tyreek Hill. And then they didn't. And then it kind of fell off the face of the earth when it comes to everything else. But they didn't even attempt. Let me say this again. They didn't even attempt to run the ball. Miami didn't. Achan had 10 carries for like 16 yards. And it was abysmal from that front. But kudos to Dave Canales for saving his job for at least one more week by Rico Dowdle going for 206.
How far away are we from the Dolphins blowing everything up? Like,
I was
Mike McDaniel,
what's
Tua
crazy
gone.
In the first half, I was wondering the same thing about the Panthers.
Right, yeah.
I'm like sitting there going, the Panthers might lose this game. They looked bad over the last couple weeks other than the win against the Falcons, which seems crazy in hindsight. I'm like, Canales might not last. They might have to move on from Bryce Young. And they come back and win. And I'm like, man, what a crazy turn of events. I think the Dolphins are close, and the question will be if you're Jalen Waddle, if you're Tua, if you're some of the other pieces of that puzzle down there, how good do you feel about another offensive mind coming into that building? I don't know. So we'll see how that all plays out. But they are a team that seems to have superstar players that fit very specific needs, and I'll be curious to see if that can last the coaching transition.
And the Lions beat the Bengals 37-24.
My brothers and sisters, the Bengals have a quarterback problem. I don't know if y'all have noticed Jake Browning. That saga has got to end. Jake Browning's numbers ended up okay. Throws for 3 touchdown passes in the fourth quarter when the game was already out of hand.
It was garbage time.
I started looking at their depth chart. Brett Rypien, Mike White, Sean Clifford. There ain't no answers in the building, bro.
You know who can help them out?
Don't even say it.
D-Rated, the Cincinnati kid.
Okay.
I was like, bro, don't you light that fire. They are doing that. D-Rated Cincinnati kid, baby. Bring him back.
You throw that freaking hand grenade into this building and light that on fire with Kirk Cousins. I don't know what they've got ahead of them, but that is just, God almighty, that seems like a franchise that can't get out of their own way. But kudos to the Lions. Kudos to the Lions for being able to do it every which way. They keep getting hit with injury after injury in different situations, and they're still 4-1. Look like a good team.
I don't feel bad for the Bengals, but it does kind of suck for the Bengals. They put all this emphasis on getting off to a hot start, got off to that 2-0 start, then Joe Burrow gets hurt, and then boom. Your hot start doesn't even matter anymore.
That's brutal, man. Brutal.
Tampa beat the Seahawks 38-35.
Baker Mayfield is inevitable. At the end of the game, he is just inevitable. It's so frustrating to watch because you know exactly what's going to happen. When the game comes down to it, the Baker Mayfield's going to get them in field goal range. You just know it's going to happen, and there's nothing that anybody seems to be able to do about it, man.
Yeah, if you are tied with the Buccaneers towards the end of the game, you're cooked because Baker's going to get in field goal range and Chase McLaughlin, even though he might miss one during the game, he's gonna make it when it counts.
Is there a chance, though, and I keep watching because I keep watching these Tampa games, and I keep going, you know what? Is it possible that this is a flip of last year where the Falcons got out to such a hot start and they start off in 6-3 and they felt like they had this massive kind of surge in the standings? And Tampa, there's no way Tampa could come back and get them, right? And then Tampa loses the game to the Falcons, and yet the Falcons kind of fall apart. I feel like Tampa is good. I'm giving them credit for all these wins. But when you're 4-1 and all four wins have come on like a field goal or a missed field goal at the last minute, it's kind of crazy. So eventually you think there's some kind of reversion to the mean. But you got to give them credit where credit's due. And they're a good football team. And Seattle's a good football team too, which makes that a good win.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to hope, like you said, at some point that they're going to have it to where, again, it averages out and these games that have all been going their way towards the end for the most part, some of them don't go their way, hopefully one specifically against the Falcons later on in the season. But, again, good teams find ways to win, and Tampa Bay right now is a good team, and they're finding ways to win.
And for Monday Night Football, you've got Chiefs, Jaguars in Jacksonville.
I need Travis Kelce. My fantasy team needs 20 points out of Travis Kelce. He's the only one left playing. I don't think it's going to happen.
Are you down?
Down by 20.
Okay.
Yeah, I just, you know, a little resurgence from Travis Kelce. He's not the Travis Kelce he once was. He takes a backseat to Xavier Worthy and whoever else is part of that offense. But, you know, he's still got some left in the tank.
Foye Lewakin might have something to say about that, former Falcon.
Yeah, there's all kinds of directions to go. But I do think it's going to be a good game tonight. We'll see.
And coming up, we've got the results for Man Up Monday. Somebody did great. Somebody did not.
That was me. I did not. Yeah, I am here to admit it.
Plus, we've got it mic'd up.
Yeah, we're going to hit a 3-up, 3-down on the other side of mic'd up. We'll talk about all these stories coming out of the weekend. 3 teams that are up, 3 guys that are up, and 3 that are down. So that'll be a lot of fun to break down.
Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan will be back in a couple days. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass, and this segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. We do have a mic'd up coming up in a moment. I also have to mention, someone tweeted at me that the Taylor Swift scavenger hunt was the equivalent of Ralphie getting the Ovaltine commercial in A Christmas Story.
That's so spot on.
Yes.
That's so spot on.
That is 100% exactly what it was.
It's just like run through all these hoops and then the payoff is just not what you expected it to be.
A lyric video.
Yeah.
No.
It's like a bunch of photo ops at doors around the world. Yeah. It's like finding a needle in a haystack. And then
people
all of a sudden,
were running around all day on Saturday and they've got all these TikToks like breaking news out of Barcelona. You know, it was just crazy. Absolutely crazy.
It's like watching the War of the Worlds movie where you're seeing like all these news clips from all over the world where like aliens are landing.
You know what I mean? Yes.
Breaking news in Barcelona. The aliens have landed. No, it's just a Taylor Swift door.
Or an M. Night Shyamalan movie where the twist is like not great.
I know we got a lot to get to this segment. Can you imagine though that being your job? Like who did they hire to put that QR code on that door?
There were crews.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, is that a local crew? Do you call somebody in Barcelona? Or are you a Taylor Swift assistant and you're like, yo, you got to hop on a flight to Barcelona?
I don't know. It must be local people, but I know security was, like, extremely high around these things because the Nashville door was not supposed to be exposed until 10 a.m. I know too much about this. 10 a.m. on Saturday, and they were caught being set up Friday night, and people were like, don't take photos of it. It's not respectful. Like, wait until... It's time.
Not respectful. Yeah. Come on. What are we doing,
it's
man?
It's a QR code.
All right. We've talked about this probably way too long. It's interesting.
Let's get into Man Up Monday. Of course, filling in for Bo today will be Dylan. He made his picks on Friday. Dylan, would you be so kind to run through the records?
I would absolutely love to. So going into this week, Mike was 11-7-1.
I was on a heater.
You were on a heater. You were on a straight heater. I think you had like... straight weeks of like one loss or less or one incorrect pick or less or something like that.
I was like 8-1-1 the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. You were on a crazy heater. Bo is 13-6. But this past week, and I think we agreed, right? The picks from Friday not going to count against
do
the record,
count.
Right?
Nope, not with Bo out.
And for Mike, that's a good thing because Mike went 1-4. I didn't do too shabby. I went 3-2.
Nice
so,
work, man.
Yeah. So it was
nice
pretty
work.
Good.
Well, let's run through some of your picks from Friday because, of course, you got to man up to these. Yeah. So let's play Mike's pick from the Alabama-Vanderbilt game. Of course, Alabama won 30-14.
Can I throw a curveball at you?
Sure.
I'm taking Vanderbilt to cover.
Okay.
I got Bama winning the game, but 10.5 points is a ton. You know what? No. Let me change. Let me change it. I just talked myself out of it. No, I'm going to go over in this game. I don't think either defense will stop either offense. I'll go over the 55.5. How about that? And that way I don't have to actually take Vanderbilt. I'll go over the 55.5. Double swing and a miss.
So
would have been wrong either way.
Double swing and a miss. Well, I know what, like, and I've got to be, I wish I had kept track for the last 10 years or whatever, where I've like made picks or gambled on Alabama. It has got to be the worst record known to man. Like, I cannot for the life of me win an Alabama bet. Mm. Any, like, picking, gambling, spreads, lines, I cannot do it. I am never good at picking Bama. It's because you're picking with your heart, man.
It's all right.
I deserve that loss.
It's all right, Mike. For that amazing pick you just made, you get this. There you go. You can hold that.
Rough, man. That was rough.
All right, let's go with Dylan's pick with the Commanders at Chargers game. Commanders won 27-10.
Even though Jaden Daniels is going to be back, there could be a rust factor there. Also, they've already ruled out Terry McLaurin, so he's not going to have his top target. Still going to have Debo. Still going to have some other weapons, though. So I think this will be a good game, a close one. I'm going to take the Chargers to cover this one. Give me the Chargers minus the 2.5. I think they can win by field goal.
Wow.
Yeah, that'd be a big fat no. There was no rust factor. Having no scary Terry did not matter. He still had Debo and Kroski Merritt. I mean, he just absolutely had himself a breakout game.
Yeah,
so,
he did.
Yeah, I was way off on that.
Yeah, there was it, and you know what, man? Kudos to Bo. He was obviously not involved in this on Friday, but his record still stands out as being a pretty good one so far.
Yeah, I mean, your record's not bad either. Especially since when it counts. You know,
yeah.
Although, I do
hopefully
have to give
hopefully he's
a,
not listening right now.
I've got to give a shout-out to Dylan, though, because for my rando pick, you picked Akron to win. The Zips did beat Central Michigan 28-20.
Yeah, there you go.
Pick that over.
Yeah.
We had plenty of Max in action, baby.
I love the look on your face right now because you're like, I knew it the whole time.
I knew it. I had it dialed up the whole way.
You couldn't name one person involved in either one of those programs.
Absolutely not.
Well, if you want to get your Thanksgiving week started with some golf for a great cause, Sports Radio 92.9, the game's third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic presented by Finley Roofing is coming up on Monday, November 24th at Eagle Watch Golf Club in Woodstock. Now is your chance to sign up. You can go to 929thegame.com. Click the events link. But do it now because foursomes are going quickly. It's the third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic benefiting Pets for Vets November 24th.
And as a reminder, every single day Mic'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. We're going to try a little new segment here for a Monday Mic'd Up. We're going to do something I like to call three up, three down. I'm going to give you three people or teams whose stock rose over the weekend and three people or teams who did not.
Okay.
So follow along with me as we go three up, three down. Should we start with the down or should we start with the up? What do you guys think? Down or up?
Start with down.
Okay, down. I can't imagine having seen a worse debacle, and to know that Mike Conte was in attendance for this matter makes my heart break. First one, stock down, James Franklin. How about Penn State losing as a, I don't know, three-touchdown favorite against a UCLA team who has already fired their head coach and has also fired their offensive coordinator? The Penn State defense giving up 269 rushing yards, including 136, I believe, on the ground to Nico Iamaleava. Absolutely brutal. This is a team who we talked to multiple college football people, Phil Steele being one of them, that said national championship Penn State team, this is the year. They have tumbled out of the top 25 now.
Yeah, to steal a term from you, Mike Johnson, woof.
Woof. This is brutal.
This is a team, like you said, national championship aspirations right now. They're barely looking like they might be a fringe playoff team if they went out and take care of business. Or I wouldn't be shocked at this point. Penn State misses the playoff altogether.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely tough. James Franklin, a lot of questions being asked about how good of a coach can he be. We talked when they're lost to Oregon a week ago that, you know, this is a team that James Franklin, I think 4-22 against top 10 opponents. Just absolutely brutal when you look at his tenure, having tumbled now out of the top 25. I think they're still good. I don't think they're that good. So a lot of questions being asked. All right, let's go with one up. How about this one? Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots. We talked about it all show, playing the Buffalo Bills last night. They forced 3 turnovers. Buffalo has 10 penalties in the first half of the game. New England wins on the field goal, 23-20. Mike Vrabel, having been sort of cast aside from the Tennessee Titans, them opting to go a different direction. Tennessee has been abysmal, although they do get a win over the weekend. But I just couldn't help but be happy for Mike Vrabel, for Drake May, for Stephon Diggs, for everybody that's involved in that organization, climbing out of this basement, if you will, of the NFL and putting together a good game last night.
It looks like Mike Vrabel's message, and we talk about teams taking on the identity of the head coach. It looks like that identity of Mike Vrabel is starting to rub into this New England Patriots team. And are we finally seeing the Drake May, Stephon Diggs connection come together like we thought it would? I mean, this is his second straight game of over 100 receiving yards, so it looks like it might be coming together. So I'm definitely up on the Patriots right now.
Mike Vrabel just seems like a dude's dude as the head coach of the New England team. He seems like somebody I'd love to play for. He actually said it over the weekend. He's like, the worst day of the week is on Tuesday because there's no players there. I like to be around the players, the coaches, love them to death, but I'm a guy who likes to talk to the people on the field. All right, let's go back to the downs. How about our second one for two down now? The Texas Longhorns and Arch Manning and Steve Sarkisian and everything else that was going on with that team this weekend. How about Texas, for all that was said about Arch Manning heading into the season and Steve Sarkisian, still haven't beat a Power Four team. They have 3 wow. wins against teams that are not part of the Power Four. Florida's Dylan Wilson was absolutely in crazy over this game. And Wilson made Texas defense look like little leaguers at time. And this is a Texas team, for whoever was saying that Steve Sarkisian's one of the best coaches and all this around this Texas program, I can't imagine having had a worse loss. You guys remember in our SEC preview when I talked about the game that could turn the SEC on its head? I thought Texas would be a lot better than this. I saw this coming, but I thought Texas would simply be a lot better than this coming into the game. It doesn't turn out to be true for Texas. Shout out to Billy Napier in Florida, although I was around some Florida fans. And they weren't that excited because they were like, Billy's going to keep his job. He's going to keep his job.
Dang it, he's done it again.
He's done it again.
I will say, when we were at SEC Media Days, the pomp and circumstance that was surrounding Arch Manning the day he was coming in to talk to people, it was just like, it's shocking to me what we're seeing now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yes.
It's crazy because Steve Sarkisian has been a little bit of a quarterback whisperer over his time there. But I feel sorry for Arch Manning. I really do. Like, it's almost like, man, and I know he's making millions of dollars or whatever, but it's like, dude, I don't know. He wasn't ready for this. He just simply wasn't ready for this. It's a bad situation to be in.
I'm so glad you said that, because that was my exact thought. Arch Manning came into a situation where there was way too much pressure put on him way too soon. He did not ask for this type of pressure. Look, I get it. Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Right.
But still, I mean, this for such a young kid who's still trying to learn the game and learn being a quarterback, way too much pressure on him.
Yeah. All right, let's flip and go back down to the ups. How about Carson Beck and the Miami Hurricanes dealing with business against the Florida State Seminoles over the weekend? Miami is 5-0. They're getting votes to be the number one team in the country. Carson Beck was making it rain, 20 of 27, 241 yards, 4 touchdowns. That is a team with Mario Cristobal. Remember, this is where Cam Ward came from. They have been able to do a lot of damage. And I am not a huge Mario Cristobal fan, but when you look at the outcome of some of these games, man, it seems like this is a team that has it figured out. Go to the portal, get a top-5 quarterback, and throw for a ton of yards. Their rushing yards on the ground were not great, but they didn't need them. And they dealt with Florida State in a handy fashion. And I'm the first one to say it. I thought Florida State, a couple of weeks ago, one of the best teams in the country. Talked to Sandy about it, talked to Mike Bell about it. I'm like, dude, they're really, really good. I'm a huge fan of Gus Malzahn's offense. They have fallen flat on their face the last couple of weeks and could have made a lot of noise out here on the national scale. Let's go back to the top. Let's go to the down. And this one's going to be brutal. The Baltimore Ravens are awful. Mm. The Baltimore Ravens are awful. John Harbaugh gets booed as he's leaving the field. Here's a stat for you. This seems unthinkable with the Ravens. Have given up 37 or more points in 4 of their 5 games this year. I know they have a ton of people injured. Yesterday, I saw the stat that $160 million of their cap, of their salary cap this year, did not play yesterday. $160 million. of their salary cap did not play yesterday, but that has usually never stopped them from being this awful in the past. They are awful. They are awful.
I completely disagree with this. They lost by 1 point to a very good Bills team. They beat the Browns. They lost by 8 to a Lions team that we now know is pretty good. We knew it was pretty good. Then they were injured against the Chiefs, and they had nobody playing last week. They don't have anybody. They had a very tough schedule to start. Everybody gets injured, and then they lose to a Texas team that they were supposed to lose to. They were supposed to beat the Texans yesterday. No shot.
What do you mean the Texans were 1-3 coming into that game?
They don't have anybody. You just said they had $160 million of that cap not playing. What are they supposed to do?
I'm not.
What was Cooper Rush going to do?
John Harbaugh be booed on his way off the field. And the last up of the weekend, Indiana Jones, Daniel Jones and the Indianapolis Colts were able to deal with business. I almost gave this one to the Broncos. But the Eagles really beat themselves in a lot of different ways. I'm not going to lie about that. So this one's going to be Indiana Jones, the Indianapolis Colts. They deal with business against the Las Vegas Raiders 40-6. He looks like a guy that with a couple more weeks like this is going to be talked about as a top 6, 7, 8 quarterback in the NFL. And it's crazy because of his career path. But Daniel Jones and those Colts look pretty good.
Talk to Danny Dimes. Nice. That's all I got to say.
There you go.
Coming up, we've got the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. Does this Bills loss make you feel better or worse about next Monday? And who should be favored in the SEC? Make a case for them, 404-726-0929. The wake-up call is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.